The current American tax system feels a little bit like legalized theft. The problem with the system, it penalizes the producers and rewards those that do not produce. Even more than that, it's how crony capitalist companies rig the system in their favor. After all that, the money collected fails to even cover the debts. Is it time for a fair tax? All this and more. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Create Your Own Life Show. I am your host, Jeremy Ryan Slate, the CEO of Command Your Brand, and we help to combat cancel culture by placing our clients on the right podcasts and new media. You can check us out over at commandyourbrand.com. Reminder, before we get into today's conversation, if you're brand new to the show, hit the like button, leave a comment in this video, and smash that subscribe button if you support liberty, freedom, and want to create a better future. Today, we have a return guest back on the show, fresh off testifying before the House Ways and Means Subcommittee. Welcome back to the show, Steve Hayes.
Jeremy, it's a pleasure to be back with you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And Steve, for people that may not have seen our first conversation, I think it was a couple years ago at this point, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do, sir.
I'm an attorney. I started off my career as an attorney doing tax work, had a lot of fun with it, was able to save clients lots and lots of money. And then I began to realize that it was really an incredible waste of time, honestly, the tax system, because it was a total situation. Jeremy, I had clients that invested in exactly the same investment in different parts. They lived in different parts of the country and they got audited. Mm-hmm. We were doing what back then was called tax shelters. They were just helping pay for the cost of the investment with tax savings. And they got, like, there was one year, there were like four of them audited and they got four different results.
Wow.
One was no change. One, they assessed tax. Two others, there were other variations of that. But this is so crazy. And the other thing was the IRS and Congress, whenever there would be something that they believed was allowing somebody to invest with an incentive from a tax point of view, would write legislation, quote, closing that loophole, they called it. Mm-hmm. But instead of closing the loophole like this, they went like this. So many other things became subject to penalties and other tax disincentives that really shouldn't have been. So I just became more and more disenchanted with it, and I decided that I was going to move into other areas of law, and I ended up doing that. I ended up doing a lot of different things, but more in transactional, and started looking around and thinking about how do we get a system that collects revenue for the government, but without all of these crazy things, without all these tens of thousands of pages of rules, regulations, and law, and without having to go to the oracle, so to speak, like the tax attorney or the tax CPA. For most people, in fact, everybody except a few, to actually know how to comply or attempt to comply with their tax return. Mm-hmm. So it made no sense. And I did some reading on it and I said, well, there's been a lot of work on why a retail sales tax really works, but it never worked in the past as a serious idea. Because we did not have the, I will call it the electronics, but the systems to do it. You had a bunch of people with individual cash registers. You had no accounting. You had no way of monitoring things. And this was before really the big box stores. This was done in the 40s and 50s. So you had retail sales spread all over the country in small stores. That had changed by the 1990s. You then had, like in California, 90% of their state sales tax in 92 was collected from 10% of the merchants.
Wow.
And they were collected using these point of sale devices even then that allowed them to keep inventory. I'm talking about the Walmarts, the people like that. And since then, it's even gotten more that way, not less. because we have more, we have Amazon. I mean, you drive down the street and you see the Amazon trucks all over. Why? Because they're handling so much more of the retail sales. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to Walmart, you go to Target, you go to these various places, and it's all parking lots are full. Mm-hmm. Well, those people, they collect the sales tax. So I said, okay, that problem no longer exists. What would be the way to go? So we started working on it, and this became something that evolved out of it. I myself and some other people who used to do tax law, who also got disenchanted and left, came up with some ideas. And this bill, the original bill, which was the same as our bill today, but the original bill was tailored after, you know, how do we make this work like the income tax, but better? Mm. And by that, I mean, someone like you has a business. How do we make it so that you can purchase all of the inputs you need to produce your final product, like you do today, tax-wise? Well, today, you can deduct them as cost from your final product. And then when you sell it, that's your profit, the difference. With the fair tax, we do the same thing. We take and say all of your purchases, Jeremy, up to the point when you create your final product are, in fact, not taxable to you. So the fair tax, just for clarification, is a national retail sales tax that is at 23%. It's the inclusive rate, meaning 23 cents of every dollar that you pay is going to the tax. And we have something we've added, which is called a prebate, which again goes like with a standard deduction. And the idea was, well, how do we get there without an income tax with this? And we said, well, what we can do is we can arrange that people up to the poverty level for every family and every individual, and $40,000 roughly for a family of four.
I don't know, Steve. I feel like poverty is more like $100,000 in this country now at this point.
Well, I'm talking about the government poverty level. I don't dispute what you're saying. A lot of times, for a lot of people, it's much higher, honestly. Yeah. But we said, okay, we're going to set it up so you don't pay any taxes on the first $40,000. So if you pay $50,000 of purchases, you don't pay 23%. Because you don't pay, if you're a family of four, you pay zero taxes on the first 40 and 23% of the last 10. So $2,300, which is about 5%. It's what that $50,000 purchaser. But the difference is you get all of your paycheck. You don't have to file a tax return. You don't have the IRS chasing you or threatening to chase you. You don't have every year that little tick of worry in the back of your head, what's Congress going to do to the rates or what I can deduct or what I can't? All that's gone. Mm-hmm. Because all the tax is collected at the retail level. And it's set up so that lower income people actually benefit much more under this system than they do under the present system. And the other thing that's probably one of the things, and as I said, I testified before the House Ways and Means Select Committee on Taxation. But one of the things that I think a lot of these guys are really worried about, Jeremy, is if today I ask you, how much of your money that you paid in taxes is going to the Department of Defense? You would have a very difficult time telling me.
Well, I'd say probably too much, too, if you let Nikki Haley have a hold of it. But that's neither, neither here nor there.
But here's the reason I say that. You can't just take your Social Security and income tax amounts and say, I paid this. But when you get products and you sell them to other people, do you mark them up so that you can pay Social Security tax and income tax and still have a profit?
Well, that's generally figured in when we're figuring out payroll, too. When I look at what I pay in those amounts every 2 weeks, I could hire 2 to 3 more people, which is kind of wild.
Right. And if you, that's a very good point. But if you look at that, all of those things increase the amount you have to charge, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Just like rent, just like anything else. But taxes are one of those things you've got to account for. And if you don't pay them, you get put out of business. Mm-hmm. It's like your lights get turned out if you don't pay the electric bill. Well, your business gets turned off if you don't pay taxes.
That's correct.
So by going to the fair tax, you eliminate all of the people who gave you inputs, whether it be the people that sold you your fountain pens or your Bic pens or whatever they are. They all were a little bit higher because of all the taxes that were accumulated included in the price. And there are lots and lots of people who've said, oh, the rate can come down, you know, 20%, 25%, 15%. I mean, nobody really knows because every person who has inputs has more labor, more cost, less cost for taxes. So you've got a situation where you can't say what it's going to be, but you know it's going to be at least 15%. Mm-hmm. And you know it could be 20, 25%. And you say, people say, oh, but Steve, nobody's going to pass that on to me. They're going to keep it. And I say, well, if they can, they will. Mm-hmm. But if you go to Walmart, they operate on, what, 0.5% profit margin? Mm-hmm. If they get a chance to cut their price and they don't do it, then Target will take away their customers. Mm-hmm. Target will. And the automakers, they want to sell cars. If they get a chance to reduce, and the automobile is one of the classic ones that had so many parts. I'm talking about before electric. All right. So many parts that had so many markups that they actually had people that did a reverse study and said it was 24% that it would come down potentially without the income payroll tax. So you have a situation then where we came out and said, this is the way it should be. Fortunately had a group of people in Houston. They were mostly, well, maybe they weren't billionaires, but very close. Mm-hmm. They got behind the idea, even though they felt like it wasn't going to benefit them as much, but it was the right thing to do, and it'd be good for their kids in the country. And they put a lot of money into this. They did a lot of studies, economic studies, and we think it's pretty hard to assail the economic analysis of this and the fact that the economy is going to grow better. And the one thing that I think, you talk about freedom. Mm-hmm. Right now, you don't have a choice of how much tax you pay unless you say, I'm going to earn less.
Yeah.
With the fair tax, it's only on new retail goods. And it's only when you make a purchase. So you make as much money as you want, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. And you determine how much tax you pay. Because if you don't buy that new couch this year, you're not going to pay tax on it. If you buy it next year, you'll pay tax next year. Okay? But it's up to you. Mm-hmm. You buy a used car, you don't pay fair tax.
Well, Steve, I want to get into some, I guess, finer points in just a second. But the thing I'm interested to find out is, you know, we talked about, you did testify before the House Ways and Means Committee on December 6th of last year. My curiosity, and I've seen the recording, and anybody that wants to see it, it's going to be linked up in the description of this episode. So definitely go check it out. How do you feel like it was received, and how was your interaction, you know, with Congress?
You know, it's interesting because I had testified in the 90s before the Ways and Means Committee, and I guess naively was expecting it to be a similar type of environment. Mm-hmm. And I showed up, and it was introduced. I was an afterthought, to be honest with you, that the chairman came up with, Jason Smith. The reason I say that is that the other people had been set maybe 3 weeks before. Normally, you get about a month's notice. Mm-hmm. They called me 5 days before.
Wow.
and said, would you come? Well, I had to put together the testimony. I had to do all that. So I showed up and I was there. And the interesting thing was the chairman of the subcommittee, he goes out and he talks about different things and how he believes that tax policy affects, he's a car dealer, he affects business and things, and it's good. And then the second speaker is what's called, who's called the ranking member. And he's a gentleman from California. And the first thing he said is, something to the effect, it's online, but to the effect of, we're wasting our time here listening to this far right proposal that really makes no sense. And so for the next few minutes, he's attacking. And then he makes some comments about the fair tax. And instead of giving me the opportunity to respond, which is what I had, received in the first time.
Sure.
He goes to the man on my right, who doesn't know anything really about taxes, who told me he was there to talk about the benefits of child credit for poverty. And he asked him questions about the fair tax. And it's obviously a setup, Jeremy, because he's reading from a script.
Mm.
And people that were there said that they watched, and the Democrats almost uniformly had a script that they read from their remarks, mm-hmm. attacking the fair tax.
Mm.
And they would pause and they would ask, his name was Berman, Professor Berman, what do you think about blah, blah, blah? And he would say that, and they would then go back to their script and repeat what he said, and continue with reading their script. So wow. It was like they got together and put it together. Mm-hmm. So I had three Democrats, though, who didn't do that, who actually interacted with me some. And I think I'm going to have meetings with all three. I think there's a real possibility of talking to them about some of their concerns about this type of reform, I think, can be handled, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think they're really thinking through the whole thing. And then the Republicans, though, for the most part, disappointed me because instead of talking about the proposal or some of the other people who were proposing variations on value-added taxes and things, they simply sort of read their own script. It's like something they can put on their YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people next to me was Grover Norquist, who I've known Grover 30 years. And Grover it was almost the same thing. If they'd be reading from a script, they would ask Grover something. Grover would say whatever he was supposed to say, and they start reading again.
So it's almost like a pre-scripted show. Like they had an idea of what they wanted to do, and they just basically have you there to play the part of the person that they're catching on video, is right. I guess the thought process.
It's very much that, and it got screwed up a little bit for them, though. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because the chairman of the whole committee, Jason Smith, showed up. And he came in, and you saw that part. He directly asked me questions. He let me have an opportunity to respond to things where they had all cut me out. And so he wanted to be sure that at least I had a chance to defend myself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And not myself, but the plan. But it told me a couple of things. And I think one of them was in, the Gandhi quote that I like to refer to, where he said, when you're in a movement to get freedom for people, the first thing they do is ignore you.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing they do is ridicule you. They laugh at you. And if you're still proceeding, it's growing, then they attack you.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll attack you viciously. And if you stand up to the attacks and persevere, the fourth thing is you win.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're in the attack phase. And what we need is to be able to stand up to the attacks and to persevere, which I think we're working on now, because, Jeremy, the basic problem you have is not going to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I said to one of the Democrats, John Larson from Connecticut, he was talking about Social Security. And I said, Congressman, you would fix Social Security. if you collected the $582 billion the IRS says is uncollected. Mm-hmm. In other words, evaded. The commissioner actually 2 years ago thought it was a trillion, but using their numbers, 582. And I actually had one member of Congress dispute that number. And I said, well, it's from the IRS website. You know, I have to assume it's true. But here's the thing, Jeremy. If you're going to evade $600 billion of taxes, you'd have to make at least $6 trillion of income, wouldn't you? At a 10% tax rate. Well, if you made an additional $6 trillion of income and you charge 15.3% for the self-employment taxes, you would be collecting $750 billion of tax. Mm-hmm. It was only short $85 billion Medicare and Social Security last year. So you would actually be making Social Security, Medicare solvent without raising taxes, without doing anything. But you're never going to collect the money that's being evaded with the income tax. So how are you going to do that? Well, if you go to the sales tax, the fair tax, one of the reasons that it permanently fixes the Social Security problem is it's much more difficult to evade. Because if you go to buy a car and you go to the state and you want to license it, and they say, well, it's going to cost you a new car, the 23% sales tax for the fair tax, and you say, no, I don't want to pay that. What are they going to say?
If you appreciate the work that we do here and you want to support this show, the biggest way you can do that is by supporting the products that we know, use, and love, and that I recommend for you here on the show. The first that I want to talk about is MyPillow, literally one of my favorite products. The MyPillow Classic is what I use every single night. It's handled a lot of my neck pain, a lot of my back pain. As you guys know, I've been a competitive powerlifter since my early 20s. I've retired from that, but I still take pretty good care of myself, and I'm still pulling some heavy weights as I pulled 500 last week on deadlift. And our favorite product from when we travel is actually the MyPillow Travel Pillow, and it's one of the things that we actually give to absolutely everybody. It is a great product to fall asleep on. So if you want to go to mypillow.com/CYOL, there's some really great holiday deals over there. You can get up to 66% off of select products. Also, one of the biggest changes in my life over the years has been handling a lot of the parasites in my body. A number of years ago, I did a cleanse with Dr. Jason Dean, and we removed these things called liver fluke from my body. They were actually eating my liver. It was kind of crazy. And every few months, I do either a parasite cleanse or his full moon detox that he's doing right now. So if you want to head over to bravetv.store/CYOL and grab some of his amazing products over there. I know he has a great holiday special going on right now as well. Support our sponsors. They help the show to continue and they help us to do what we're doing. And we could not do it without you. And you could do it just by using the power of the purse and supporting the products that we love. Thanks.
Well, Steve, here's my concern with this, and I guess this question is twofold. I guess the first part is why 23%? Because that does feel high, and I guess the second part of it is, like in New Jersey, I guess I'll give you an example and then explain what I mean. Like in New Jersey, we got a gas tax a couple years ago, and it just seems to keep going up. And they were like, okay, so we're gonna reduce your sales tax from 7% to 6.5% and institute this gas tax. We're like, okay, fine. So then they get the gas tax, they raise the gas tax, and then they raise the sales tax anyway. So now we're paying more sales tax and more gas tax. You know, here in the New Jersey, the home state of the world buffet champion, Chris Christie. So I guess like looking at that, why 23% and what's to stop them from, you know, I guess having a VAT and a standard tax system, right? Like, and kind of hitting us both ways.
Well, first of all, why 23% is because that's how much it takes to replicate the amount of money now being collected under the income payroll tax and the estate gift tax and all. So it's not some arbitrary number we came up with. It's a number that's determined by the collections of the present tax system. And what we're saying is we're not balancing the budget. We're simply bringing in the same amount with 23%. It's actually 22.9 or something this year or last year. The same amount as was brought in under the income payroll tax. If you wanted to increase it enough to balance the budget, you'd probably have to go to somewhere closer to 30, 31%. Mm-hmm. Okay. But if you wanted to bring in an extra $1.5 trillion under the income tax, you'd have to raise everybody's rates and cut down deductions and probably get rid of the standard deduction where it is now and cut it in half or cut it in a third in order to get enough income in to raise enough to count, pay the for the new budget, including the borrowing. Mm-hmm. So that's the first answer. And the second answer is an incredibly good one. How do you make it so that these guys aren't going to take the 23% and do like some have already talked about, take a sales tax and have an income tax on top?
Yeah, that, right. Because that just becomes a bonanza then, because it's like, all right, we got this, we got that, we got this. It could be a little crazy, man.
Well, it could be, but here's the thing. If they raise the rate on the income tax on people making over $100,000 a year, the average person never sees it. Even the person making over $100,000 probably doesn't see much. But if, just like with your sales tax in New Jersey, every person who is a consumer, they're all going to see the sales tax. They're all going to see the fair tax. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandkids are going to say, why is it that that dollar item I used to buy now costs $1.25? Why? Mm-hmm. Well, because that's how much it costs to feed the government. Okay.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to see it. People are going to start asking why. But let's sit back to defense and you, and my example there, because I think it really talks about one of the reasons why this makes sense, is if you are bringing it in and you say, okay, 807, let's say a trillion for defense, mm-hmm. make it simple. All right, if we were going to reduce that 20%, how much could my rate go down on the fair tax? Well, you have to look at the percentage of that to the total, right? But you could see you can reduce the fair tax enough so you don't have to raise $200 billion. Mm-hmm. You can do that with your phone calculator. You can't do that today. They've hidden the taxes so well, because how many people actually think that what they make is their take-home pay? How many people actually think that that Social Security payment that comes out of their check belongs to them? Mm-hmm. They don't. They think it's maybe for their retirement. If you're a young person like you, you're probably making bets with your friends about ever seeing a dime.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I don't make any ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'll be 37 in a couple of months, and I don't make any ifs, ands, or buts about it that it'll be there at all when I get there. So I'm not really looking forward to that, Steve. But I know like what I'm paying now is paying for people like my parents. That's about it.
And people like me and others, you know, mm-hmm. that are collecting it, and we're unfortunately for the people who did the calculations. You know, we're living a lot longer than we were supposed to. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, the funds require a lot more than they have, compounded with the fact, Jeremy, that you have so many fewer workers per retired person. And that's just going to get more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically, to be solvent, you've got to collect it from the people that are working. Mm-hmm. And if you have fewer people, more people retired, then you've got to find some way to raise it. And that's why it went in the deficit, and it's going to continue to go more and more in the deficit. Mm-hmm. And that is going to be a problem with funding this. That's why I think that the basic problem they have, and some of them know it, is the income tax system is getting to a point where it's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. That's why the IRS is trying to come up with ways. I mean, you'll like this. There's actually studies they've commissioned, paid a lot of money for them, that predict that in the next 5 years, they will have software that will do the tax return for between 70 and 80% of Americans.
Wow.
So they won't ask you to turn in a return, Jeremy. They'll just tell you how much tax you owe.
I feel like that's good and that's bad, right? Like it's good because you'll know what they actually want, but the thing I find weird about the current tax system is it's like you're basically checking your own test, but you better check your test right or we're going to get you.
Yes.
But the other side about it as well is like to have that level of you know, being able to watch somebody, that scares the heck out of me, Steve. Like to be watching your actions at that level, to be able to track that is scary.
And that's exactly what they want to do. Why mm-hmm. do you think they want digital currency? Well, it's a rhetorical question. They want it so they can track all the money.
Yes.
And so, you know, if you've got a situation where that's the case, then to that extent, you're much less free. Because they then can tell you, and if they make a mistake, try arguing with a computer. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got a real situation there. But that's really what they're looking for, a solution to a problem that I don't think has a solution. And that's why Ben Cardin, who is certainly, you know, he's from your neighborhood in Maryland. He's retiring now, but he's not a right-wing nut like I was accused of being. He's, you know, very liberal. Mm-hmm. But Ben came up with a proposal. He called me. I talked to him in his office several times. And he showed it to me, where he had a 10% sales tax, and this goes to your statement, on income up to 100,000, and then an income tax above 100. So you had the sales tax. Let's say you're making 200,000. Sales tax for you up to 100. Mm-hmm. You keep paying it. That's the fallacy with what he's saying. You keep paying it on all of it. But, and then he would tax you in addition on that extra 100. I think it was 15, 20, and 25% bracket. I forget what the brackets were, but something like that. And he had a he said, I modeled the first part on your bill. Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to talk to you. So, that's exactly what they're looking at as a potential way. And he said to me something very interesting because he'd been looking at the evasion numbers as well. He said, you know, this will handle a lot of the evasion, won't it? And I said, frankly, it will, because there's a lot of evasion going on under that, you know, 100,000 and less mm-hmm. kind of area. And I said, no, I think you're right. I think it'll help it. But it will not, you know, it didn't address Social Security funding, which was on top of this, by the way. And it didn't really look at how it was affecting imports and exports. Because he was going to have a value-added tax for corporations.
Wow.
But when he wrote the bill, he just had a corporate income tax. Mm-hmm. And the problem with the corporate income tax, it's not border adjustable, which means that when you export it, you don't get a credit for all the taxes you paid. Mm-hmm. So it goes over there at a higher price. And they put their value-added tax on it, which makes it even higher when you try to compete. Mm-hmm. And then when they send their product over here, they rebate, they give back the value-added tax that's been paid. And the product comes over here between 75% and 85% cheaper than in their home country. Mm-hmm. And we don't put a tax on it. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they have an advantage competing with us in their country and competing with us in our country. And that's why so many jobs have moved overseas. You're not going to fix that with an income tax.
Yeah.
So we just got that situation that's growing and growing. And as we become more reliant on world trade, we've got to do something to make the balance better, or we're going to continue to export the good jobs overseas.
Absolutely. Well, Steve, I've really enjoyed this conversation. For people watching, if they want to find out more about what you're doing, if they're interested in learning more about Fairtax, you know, how can they do that and how can they find you, sir?
Just the best way is just go to fairtax.org. You can sign up. You can get our newsletters. You can look at the literature, and we have lots and lots of studies on the site, more than most people would ever want to read. But this is a plan that works in 45 states in the District of Columbia. We've got it set up so that actually is better for lower income people than the present plan, because under the present plan, they don't get relief from Social Security, the most regressive tax there is. Under our plan, they get to keep that money, plus they get the benefit of the prebate. So a lower income family may pay zero tax. But the great thing is, if the prices will come down, and I think they will some, they're going to have more purchasing power for the same money. So lots of advantages. And I think if you read it, you'll like it. I found very, very few people who live outside of Washington, D.C., that don't think it's a better way to go.
Absolutely. Well, Steve, I know we'll definitely be checking in with you again a little bit down the road and see how things are going, as we've been continually checking on what you guys are doing. So for people watching, you know, thanks again for watching. Reminder, if you have not liked this video, do so. And also leave us a comment and smash that subscribe button to help us create more freedom out there. Steve Hayes, thanks for coming back today, sir.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thanks for what you're doing.